only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
To life, L'chaim. No better time than mid-Hanukkah weekish in which to release this episode of Taking It Personally with BBDB, recorded just a brief time ago, but never before heard nor edited until I found the SD card that I had misplaced for a minute. Much like the Maccabees and the oil, just the delay was stretched from a moment to even more than eight crazy nights. So this deep dive of the Netflix hit comedy Nobody Wants This is really truly an episode to be remembered, and no better time than now, mid Chrismahana Kwanzaa, in which to share it with the world. So hope you enjoy this special episode. Hope you had a great Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Thursday, Tuesday night, all that energy. And thanks to all of you for listening to the podcast, to Andy's Girls, to Taking It Personally, and of course, to your lovely thoughts. And I have included in the link the show notes for this episode, and I'm guessing many episodes to come, my dad's sayonara letter, which I think the spirit and energy from that is something I wish for many of us to share. So anyway, Merry Jewish, and here's to this never before heard episode of Taking It Personally. Talking about, oh my God, that hot rabbi, Adam Brody. Ugh, mazel of the day to Leighton Meester, and honestly to all of us who have watched this hit Netflix show. Thanks to all of you. You guys, it's Taking It Personally. Listen, you can't say that nobody wants this about this episode because we both wanted an awful lot. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the story of the day. Absolute facts. So welcome back to Tip, content creator and host of the podcast, High and Low. Bravo, bravo, ducking bravo. BBDB, how are you?
I'm so good. And I'm even better now that you watch the show I've been telling you to watch.
Okay, so we need to talk about this for a second, because I have heard since the second it fucking dropped that nobody wants... Am I saying the name correctly, by the way?
Yeah, nobody wants this.
Right, okay. That Nobody Wants This was like the show to watch. And I was I was befuddled. I was confused because I was like, show on Netflix, don't you mean movie? Because it gave me... The idea of it gave me rom-com energy. I'm so thankful I was wrong, because as a show, it's like even better. So than much. It would be
2 hours wouldn't be enough.
2 hours would not be enough. Why give us two when you can give us 30?
I need 10 parts.
I need 10 parts. They've already announced season two. Of course. I know that they haven't started filming it, but it needs to be done by absolutely next week.
Yes.
Because I need this in my veins immediately. But I felt weird about it because I was like, okay, as a Jewish person now, I just got concerned. I was like, if it's going to be super stereotypy and weird, I don't know how that's going to make me feel. And I know that I have people, smart people, especially you, being like, watch this show, watch this show, watch this show. And I was like, I just don't know. And I'm not in the mood for it. I'm like going through some shit. I just like, I could, and I didn't know if I could commit. I, for some reason, thought it was like, we're living in the era of dramas that we're pretending are comedies.
Oh, true. I hate that. Yeah.
Right? I thought it was going to be like a 45-minute dramedy.
Can't and
I'm
do
like,
that.
You're asking me to watch how many episodes?
Mm-hmm.
And then I literally...
I know.
Sat my ass down.
Once it touches your lips.
Once it touches your lips. I started and about 15 seconds in, maybe a minute in, honestly, if I'm being conservative. I was like, oh, okay, so this is how it's going. And then because of Netflix, you don't think what episode you're on.
No, nope, we're just rolling.
I thought I was still on one, but I was on three. Mm-hmm. I watched the entire thing, all 10 episodes, in one sitting.
The joy I felt.
I cannot even tell you. And I just want to say, listen, Jews are not a monolith. I know that there are people who have written think pieces as well they should with their thoughts and feels about depictions, about whether or not it's stereotyping. I totally understand it. I absolutely empathize with it. Jews are going to have different perspectives because that's just how we roll. It's a part of our, it's a part of who we are and our identity is to argue. But, and the good reason to, by the way, but I have to tell you, I laughed about 800 times.
Me too. I was laughing so hard. And here's the thing. I think you could feel it from the first couple of sentences, how every molecule of that show is from women. And it is so funny and it is so witty and it's so endearing and it's so likable. I loved every single thing about it. And some of the jokes, like, oh, it's just like you're hanging out with friends that you like. The podcast part of it, the sisters, everything was great.
And I have to say, Kristen Bell. So, I mean, listen, shout out any, did you ever watch Party Down?
I loved Party Down, of course. It's great.
Yeah. Okay, I was about to say, because that's like very much your personality type as it is mine. Mm-hmm. I love the Party Down cameos, like to see members of Party Down, Good Place cameos. Kristen Bell is one of those people who sometimes when she does press tours, I'm like, it's not an Anne Hathaway energy. It's not an Anna Kendrick energy. But there's something about her sometimes when she does press tours where I'm like, do I like this person? But then I watch her and she did a great job. I just really, as you said, I think the writer's room was majority women.
Uh-huh.
And I was tickled pink the entire time I'm texting you. And I'm like, this is really good. At one point, I posted to Instagram stories in the middle of one of Kristen Bell's April, because she's phenomenal in this, like Emmy Awards. At one point, I just literally posted and said, this is a perfect show.
It's good.
Like, it's a perfect show.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's wonderful. It talks about family dysfunction and the joy that you have from like your friendships and relationships. And then I loved it. I just thought they did such a good job with it. I love the sister, who we know from Succession. I loved all the casting choices. I remember thinking that watching the show, like, whoever did the casting, just tip my hat to them. They did a great job.
So I have a question for you, because I think this has come up a lot. Mm. What is your relationship with and to Adam Brody?
Oh, okay. So I did not watch Gossip Girl. So
was he in that?
Was that the show he was on?
Don't know.
Listen, I'm like.
No, I think he was in the OC.
Oh,
was
shit.
He in Gossip Girl too? No, Leighton Meester is in Gossip Girl, who he's married to.
That's what it is. But listen, those two shows of no, it's not Giggle Fest. OC, OC and Gossip Girl. I feel like I'm 2 years older than that target audience was, and so for me, I was like, I can't go back. Like, I must press forward into adulthood. I can't go back into this. And so that is like in the off, you know, the wing nuts of my mind, like I'm aware of the plot and of the actors and that they were very popular, but I don't know them. I don't have a pull with them. But this show, this man, I knew, was it episode one that they put the ice cream down and he kisses her? Was that episode one?
So I don't know which episode, which number was which.
I think it's episode one. So that's what hooked me, because you know that I'm addicted to TikTok. So that's in my veins at all times. So yes, where I say I'm 2 years older, I'm never too old for TikTok. Okay. So that's in my veins at all times. And so the children tell me what's hot on TikTok. And I saw that clip with that fucking song, excuse me, whatever song that is that they're playing. And I said, I need to watch this show immediately. And that's what pulled me in. And so by episode one, I was like, I'm watching this whole thing. And then you beat me. I was on seven and you're texting me while I'm making dinner last night. And you're like, I'm on eight. How'd you do it? I don't know.
I don't have a family.
True. True. That's what holds me back. That's facts.
That's what goal setting is, to have less of a family so we can devote more time to.
I was
a
chopping
watch.
Things up so a child wouldn't choke when it ate things. And you got to go to episode eight.
Well, first off, I need someone to do that for my meals, so I'll be texting you about that offline.
Anytime.
But, So I hadn't seen a clip of the kiss, but I had heard that there was a kiss. But I'm like, I get it for like Bridgerton people. Like there are certain moments of fucking and whatever. But first off, I fucked the shit out of her.
Merciless. Left nothing but her bones.
He did that. Then
I'm sweating.
No, I'm like flustered right now. Then when he put his hands on her face, I was like,
it's the thumb placement.
I was like almost uncomfortable because I was like, no, I need to, listen, Leighton Meester is a beautiful wonder. She is obviously the best part that came.
Don't bring Leighton into this.
I'm not bringing like it is. I'm saying I respect Leighton Meester. Like,
of course,
we all love and we cherish her.
We do.
Like, I need to, if there's like, you know how there's like Disney World where you like act out your little fun cartoon, whatever's. I'm just saying, like, if there was I don't even know what it would be, like a Brody con or something.
Oh, yes.
I'm not saying like I need to like make out with, he is like a happily married man with two small children, because I did Google it. I was just overwhelmed because like the thing is, he's eye fucking her, putting the ice cream down, the hands on the face. He literally devoured her.
Absolutely. Absolutely he did. Yeah. And I think everybody just walks away with an appreciation for what Leighton has. And and we're also thankful to her for sharing it with us.
Here's the thing about Adam Brody. And this is where some of us trip up.
Yeah.
I think he's actually attainable. Not him, but
that kind
Adam
of guy.
Brody
that
type.
Kind of guy, you mean. Yes.
I think that exists. Does it not?
Yes, I'm married to that. That exists. Yes.
Are you?
Oh, yes.
Shut up.
Would you expect any less?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, because this is one of those shows that can, like, fuck with you if you're single and watching it.
I know.
I'm like, no, I think this is, like, a real guy.
You just need to find a confident, nice, good person who's, like, not playing games. Yeah.
So I need to leave New York City.
Maybe.
And go back to New England just to find and be devoured and then be like, okay, now here's your like, you know, work visa. You're going to come with me back to Manhattan.
That could work.
I'm not staying here.
That could work.
I am, it's sort of overwhelming to watch it. I'm not a Bridgerton person. I watched the first season because I remember people were like, episode 5 or 6 or whatever, they be fucking. And they really did. They fuck on Bridgerton. But then I just got kind of tired of it.
Wait. Why do you keep thinking about Bridgerton?
Because of the fucking.
Oh, yeah. But that's like hardcore stuff. He doesn't even need to do that. Like, that's what's so powerful.
That's the thing. This is my Bridgerton.
Yeah. Like, okay. I feel you.
I don't need like P and V. I don't
we
need
don't.
To see that. I don't need to see the like sucking a corset off of a gal or whatever. Like I love it and I cherish it. And like you do you. If Bridgerton is your rom-com self-care.
Knee deep in the carriage seat. We don't necessarily need that.
Whatever you need in your life and getting off on that, whatever floats your boat, God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Brody putting down the containers of ice cream, and when he laid his hands, when he caressed, and he was just so in control, but like sensitive.
He's going to talk you through it. That's what you're looking for. He's going to talk you through it.
Uh-huh. He's like, I'm about to fuck you up. Like, I'm about to break open your life. And she was like, okay, like, let me put down my cinnamon swirl. Like, let me put down my like bubblegum flavored cotton candy flavored ice cream, like pistachio, whatever it was. Coffee, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Probably not vanilla. I hope for better for her, even though
maybe it was a really good vanilla with like actual vanilla bean in there. We don't know.
You know what? A great vanilla bean ice cream is
hard to beat.
It's hard to beat. But if you have the opportunity to choose between melting of a perfect French bean vanilla ice cream and Adam Brody devouring you.
Amazing.
Like triple scoop that fucking kiss.
Yep.
Because it literally changed me.
I screamed.
It changed me.
Yeah. I'm not the same. I don't think any of us are. It was
their
good.
Chemistry and their chemistry together,
off the charts.
And like, I don't care at all about Dax Shepard. I know he's a phenomenal podcaster and whatever else.
Who? It's not time to talk about him.
I don't care.
He talks a lot. He's fine.
He talks a lot. It is what it is. I'm just saying, and I love and respect and cherish Leighton Meester. I'm just saying, like, Leighton, don't watch the show.
Isn't that odd to think about? Like, what if that was your spouse's profession? I would be proud. I would be like, damn, you nailed that scene. At the same time, you got to do that with me later, too, because now I feel like I missed out on that.
You know what the problem is?
Huh?
Is that at the end of the day, these people are actors. They're professional actors.
That's very true. And it's a job. And he did a great job.
No, but like, he's better with his actual wife.
Oh, that's true. Is. Yeah. He's just playing a character.
But I did Google Adam Brody Leighton Meester, and I saw a paparazzi picture of him from whenever ago kissing Leighton Meester.
Good.
And he was using his hands.
Hell yeah. Like,
okay, so this man is method. Like, he's pulling stuff from his real life. Like, this mm-hmm. He could not be more of the perfect guy, noting that a part of being a perfect guy is not being perfect, because he made significant
absolutely
problems and issues and challenges. Yeah.
He's a grown up. Well. That's what we're looking for here. He's a grown up. Yeah. We're watching two grown ups, you know, fall in love.
So how would you describe the show? Because we've just deep dived into Adam Brody, I fucking the shit out of everyone watching. But like, how would you describe Nobody Wants This?
I would describe it as endearing, sweet, witty, romantic, charming, absolutely fun, funny, so funny, so funny. The brother, Sasha, the way that I cackled, I think it was episode 8 or 9, when he's in the kitchen and his wife tells him something really pivotal and he's just like holding the wine glass and he's like, this is information that people would kill for, but okay, I won't tell anyone. He is so funny. I really, really like that. So they did a great job of not having it just be about two people and their romance. It's two people and then their siblings and those siblings' lives and how your relationship really does involve like your family and your friends. And it's an atypical situation in that, we'll just say on the show, because it's not a spoiler, that this...
Oh, no, we need to spoil it. If you haven't watched the show... watch the show and then come back. We're going to talk about all of it. I have no problem with spoiling.
Because the fact that he had just been not really engaged, but in an extremely serious relationship with someone that his entire family was fully invested in, and then he switches gears and decides that he needs to pursue his own happiness. And I love his dad, by the way, because his dad keeps it real with him of like, you're the one who's got to live your life at the end of the day. You know, so yeah, your family might put pressure on you. Your mom might put pressure on you, but it's your life. And then one of the very last episodes is her going to his room and seeing this like 4-poster bed. What kind of, is a canopy bed? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a moment too. It's like these little subtle things of, most of the time he just doesn't make waves. And then to be a grown up is to say, I'm going to make some waves and I'm going to do what's right for me. So I feel like it's a deep show too. So it's funny and it's light, but it's also, there are like big lessons there.
100%. So, and the way I would kind of like elevator pitch is, there's a podcaster. She's a sassafras. She has a quasi call her daddy-esque podcast with her sister, who she has a sort of, you know, I mean, they're sisters, so they love each other. They love to hate each other. It's kind of like this fun little back and forth. They have great chemistry.
Great banter.
Show together.
Mm-hmm.
Great banter. She goes to a dinner party. She's told there's a divorce guy who's a piece of shit and also a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting that right? Yeah.
Yep,
and
that's right.
She confuses, because she was stereotyping. The one moment that made me slightly uncomfortable is when she thought that there was a man who presented as a Jewish person and she thought that he was the rabbi. That was one moment where I was like,
Well, that's also because her friend said the rabbi has a beard. And so she thought the guy with the bigger beard that looked older was the rabbi. I would have thought that too. I'd be like, that guy with the sport coat and the big beard, my friend said he had a beard. Like, I would never have thought this hot guy, young guy, you know what
100%.
I mean? Because he like didn't have really a beard. It was like a closer kind of a shave. And he's like talking, he's smoking, like it would not have... You know, when you think about a serious religious person, You know, that stereotype, I think, transcends all religions.
100%. So she then starts talking to this guy who's like super cute, also known as Adam Brody. And it turns out, LOL, that the rabbi at the dinner party is this guy, Adam Brody, who she had chemistry with. So she, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of a comedy of errors as they try to figure each other out. And they're given weird information about the other person that's probably not accurate, but they still have this chemistry and they pursue each other. He has a really funny brother who many people will recognize from Veep.
The so brother, funny.
Yeah, the brother's wife is best friends with Adam Brody's ex-girlfriend.
I like the wife. I like the brother's wife.
I like the brother's wife. I also really like the ex-girlfriend. There's no...
Yeah, that's true. There's nobody that's really unlikable. Everybody has their own, yeah, charming ways. Mm-hmm.
I actually thought they did a pretty good job more with the ex maybe than Timothy Simons, if I'm remembering his name correctly, from Veep's wife. Because I guess there has been a fair amount of criticism that the wife doesn't necessarily have as many kind of complications and layers maybe potentially. But I enjoyed her. I
thought
she
was
great.
Favorite parts. Especially when they have the dinner with the mom, like her mother-in-law. I felt like we really got to know her a lot better. Like you think of her as like this bad bitch, like really confident and stuff, but she's like walking on eggshells around the mother-in-law too.
She's like, oh my God, you want me to cut cucumber? Yeah. Like now I'm the favorite child.
Yeah.
So it becomes this whole like, is he trying to hide her? How are they going to figure this out? Because she's agnostic. She has a sort of non-traditional family situation. Her parents don't talk about emotions, and her parents got divorced. Her father came out. They're trying to figure out how to be a happy family. Her mom's sort of like desperately looking for connection and spirituality and control in her life. Meanwhile, his parents have a huge, huge role in kind of steering his future. He's angling for a chief rabbi job. He knows that his life would be incredibly problematic potentially for him, or more challenging, honestly, for him if he was dating someone who was not Jewish as the figurehead of his temple and his Jewish community. And then it just becomes his family not being in support, her sister not being in support, and them trying to figure out if they can be with each other. That's like the vast majority, I would say, of the series.
But here's what I like too. Okay, so episode one, here's why I really dug him. The minute she walks in the room, and she's just herself because it's her friend's house. And she doesn't know who these strangers are at her friend's house. And she's just funny and herself. He clocks her. And he's like he likes her right from the first second. But he's not weird or creepy or too much. He just talks to her. And they have funny, like witty exchanges back and forth. And he just sees where it goes. And that's really rare. I think most guys would ruin that somehow. They would be gross. They would go too fast. They would be inappropriate. Something would go wrong. And the way that he first gets to know her, I thought was really, really nice. Very traditional, very sweet. Walks her to her car. Chivalry's not dead, but isn't gross about it. Expects nothing. Just wants to spend time with her.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, the dream for a lot of women who may or may not feel that they are complicated is to meet someone who says, I want to know who you are.
Yes.
And how you tell me who you are, how you act, how you behave, it's okay. Like, you're not going to scare me away. And I actually lean into that. Like,
yeah.
I like that you are fully yourself. I like that you are complicated. I like that you are potentially seen as different. Like, he's telling her, like, I will support all of you, which is, he says, I can handle you. I'm on your side. I mean, if we're going to talk about escapist rom-com style shit, that feels like maybe the most escapist part of it for anybody who's dating or has dated at any point in their godforsaken lives. Like, the idea that a man would have the emotional maturity and depth and interest to see a woman who he views as complicated and to say, I like that. Like, I like that she is unique. I like that she is layered and nuanced. You're never gonna be bored. Like, you're never going to run out of shit to say or yeah. do.
And that's another part of it, too, is like they're not perfect and they don't expect each other to be. And it's not a big deal if things aren't, I don't know, if they're not just completely perfect. And he's just so good about never freaking out. And what I like too was that I think one of the biggest complaints, because yes, I'm married, you know, with a family, but I identify as a single woman, you know, just living in a big city. Like, that's who I am on the inside.
Okay.
So I fucking get it is what I'm saying. So when I watch my girls, my friends I don't know on the interwebs, and they talk about the challenges that they have, one of the biggest complaints is that a man will just talk about himself, will not ask them any questions, a la Chapel Roan, will not ask them any questions, nothing. And he's the opposite. He really wants to get to know her. He could talk all day about all the stuff that he's got going on, but it's always like a really good exchange. And you never feel like he's anything but not just completely interested in her and wanting to make sure that, you know, she's having a good time too.
I have a couple of resolutions for 2025. Catching up on New York and Potomac, continuing to love Dorit. And sure, we've all heard New Year, New You a bajillion times, but why stick to just one version of yourself? Pair Eyewear has tons of shapes and styles to match any new vibe or hyperfixation, so you can keep trying new things and switching up your look anytime you want. Perfect for the clofus. Base frames start at just $60, including your prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code AndysGirls at PairEyewear.com. I went with Otis and Crystal Clear, which is one of my faves. I am a glasses girly. I wear glasses 24/7. And I love something that will work with the variety of colors and styles of dresses and jackets that I have in the clofus. And with Crystal Clear as my base, there are so many fabulous top frames to pair. I'm a big fan of sparkle and sequins, so of course the silver sparkle and the sparkle collection, something I'm immediately obsessed with. With Pair Eyewear, you get to choose so many different creative, unique styles for these top frames that you snap right on top of your base eyewear. Pair Eyewear is budget friendly without compromising on style or quality. Show off new sides of yourself this year. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that Andy's Girls sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, Eyewear.com using code AndysGirls. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Yeah, and I feel like often these shows, when there's some sort of similar setup, not in terms of like religious identity and culture, but just in terms of like manic pixie dream girl, mm-hmm. I feel like often there's the idea of man shows woman how to rise and mature, or he likes her because she's crazy and whatever else. And the thing that I really appreciated about the show is like Kristen Bell is the character, I've already forgotten her name. Kristen Bell is
Joanne.
Like, Joanne, oh my God, how could I forget? Joanne is accomplished. She's independent. She is ambitious. There are moments in which she's, you know, making decisions that show emotional maturity.
And then sometimes not. And I love those too.
And sometimes not. And she's honest with him.
She's so honest. And with herself. She's like, I'm a terrible person. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, you got to do it. It's canon. Just do what you're about to do. Yeah.
And she does the thing that I think many people do, which is like, okay, I fucked up. So now we're going to break up. And he's like, no, it just... We're gonna talk about it. You also are allowed to be a human person.
Yeah, and I identify with that as well because, I mean, is anything just easier than just cutting bait and being like, whatever, fuck it, bye. We had a good run. And he's the guy that's like, no, how about we work through it?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I can understand how there could be feedback from people watching the show, and most especially from maybe Jewish viewers, in feeling like some of this might feel a little too much. And I was watching the show and I thought of two examples from my life, which is not meant to reinforce stereotypes, but just to say that sometimes things exist. Like at one point several years ago, I went to a temple here in Manhattan for Shabbat because I was like, let me just, because I don't go to temple almost ever. But, and the idea of being Jewish is hard for sometimes non-Jews to understand, like so much of it is connected to culture and community. And when he's talking about the fact that a huge part of the Jewish faith is like wrestling with the idea of God, that is exactly to me, like exactly spot on and gets into like more of the psyche of the Jewish experience, which I really appreciated. But I remember going to that temple and I like rolling solo in my little Manolos, like, but respectful. But I'm like sitting down and a woman starts engaging me in conversation, and which I thought was so nice.
That is nice.
It is nice. And I was like just a woman going to Shabbat alone. And of course, like very early into the conversation, she's like, are you single? The rabbi is single. And I was like, okay, like maybe we'll kiki at Oneg. It made me uncomfortable, to be honest. That was not what I was going to Shabbat for. But I was like, all right, let's see if he's cute. And he was not my energy and I did not communicate with him. But it was one of those moments of like, no, this is a thing. Like when all of the Jewish mothers were surrounding the rabbi to be like, my kid. So hard, because not only was it written in a way that was just so fucking funny.
So funny.
But it is also, to me, like there is something to be said for, you know, a pack of Jewish mothers. That is a lot of energy to bear. And also on a sort of totally different note, but when he's talking about interfaith and whether or not he would sort of like conduct an interfaith wedding. I'm a child of an interfaith marriage. My mom is Jewish. My dad was raised Catholic, but certainly does not, as he has written about in books, identify with any particular organized religion. He was very supportive of my brother and I being raised as Jewish, was on the Bima at our bar and bat mitzvahs, spoke, participated, loved Manischewitz more than any Jew at any, you know, Shabbat or Seder that we attended, loved his chopped liver, like all of that. He was really, really supportive. But I remember, so after my bat mitzvah, I stayed involved in our temple, shout out Temple Beth El in Providence, Rhode Island, which is very progressive, community focused. Our senior rabbi, Rabbi Gutterman, before he retired, was like, essentially considered, I would say, at the level of like the actual mayor of Providence, was like very, very well known and actively involved in, you know, in Rhode Island life. And I remember because I stayed involved in Sunday school and like essentially volunteered. I was confirmed when I was a senior in high school. Even though I didn't actually attend the service because it was the same night as my prom, I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, nothing I can do here. Peace. Like, was a thrill to be involved until senior in high school. But I remember getting into it with with another rabbi of the temple. He and I, because it's a big part of the Jewish experience to, like, debate and really get into stuff.
Oh.
And I was offended. And it's a Reform temple, very progressive, but he and I got into it because he was talking about similar stuff that Rabbi Adam Brody was talking about when it comes to being seen as really genuinely like the symbol of his community as the rabbi. And he said, if you know, if it became a question of an interfaith ceremony, that he would not feel comfortable leading an interfaith wedding. And as Adam Brody said, I remember this conversation with my rabbi many years ago where he was like, if it's two Jewish men or two Jewish women marrying, of course, I would be more than happy to officiate that ceremony, to like to lead that wedding. Exactly as Adam Brody said. But he's like, if it's a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman, I would not feel comfortable leading it and I wouldn't attend. And this is one rabbi's perspective. Many have different, but that idea, like you can make it into a joke of like, oh, I come from a Jewish family and maybe my family would have no, my mom just wants somebody with a pulse. Like it does not matter. they don't care. They could not care less. She's like, you know, goes to Cardi's Furniture in Rhode Island, talks to the salesperson, tells me she has a son. He works in oil in New York. I think you guys should go to dinner. I'm like,
that's nice. She's your hype woman. She's trying to help you out anywhere she can. I mean,
she's trying to help her out.
Well,
she's trying to keep up with the Goldsteins, except not actually the literal Goldstein.
Don't think I don't do the same thing. Trust me, I never come across like a good man, but every now and then I'm like, I wish I could find. Like I know quite a few, like, you know, single amazing ladies, you know, you included. And so I'm always thinking like, is he a murderer or is he a good man? We'll find out.
You know what? Even if he is, sometimes there's valid reason to make
decisions in one's
life.
Yeah, what did that person do?
Let's not be judgy.
Let's not be judgy. Yeah, we're all capable.
But when it comes to like, there's the idea and the stereotype and the LOL of, or maybe the criticism and the judgment of like, of the idea of being presented of an interfaith relationship and the reality of it for many Jews, I think, who might feel that way, who might feel sort of challenged or upset if a loved one was engaging in an interfaith relationship, many Jews might not care. But what they got into on this show, I thought was important to hear, which is that so much of that is trauma based and originating in the fact that so many of us have been murdered. There are so few of us left. I want to say there's 15 million of us on Earth, which is like 0.02 population. Like it's fucking nuts. There are so few of us that the idea of potentially losing a Jewish person, the idea that like, post-Holocaust, but honestly, even before that, there's so much that has happened and there are so many people who want to eradicate us and for us not to exist that I understand that people maybe on the outside or not might feel like, you know, that's unfair to criticize my relationship with someone because they might not also be Jewish. I have no problem in my life dating non-Jews. That has never, ever come up, not once ever. But I'm also progressive, whatever. But I understand the reality, the sadness, the fear behind some of these stereotypes of like, we're not okay with you because you're not Jewish. There's generational trauma behind that I hope was present. Like, what's your thought as someone who is not Jewish? Like, did that come across?
I thought they did a good job with explaining that. I mean, I certainly like felt compassion for them when they talked about it. And then also there's a part where, I can't remember what episode it is, doesn't matter, towards the end, where they're talking about people who convert and how they are actually thought of as being closest to God. I thought that was really nice because this whole time through the show, it's been this issue, you know, with her. And I've never really understood like the rules about, you know, when you convert. And I mean, everybody knows like Elizabeth Taylor, she converted. And like, you know, we've heard about these things like growing up
Leah
for
McSweeney.
Me. Yeah. Like, oh, don't.
No, but like for real. Leah
I know, but yeah. I can't talk about Leah right now.
Charlotte York, Goldenblatt.
Jets. Yeah. That's a great example. Like we all watched Sex and the City and we saw that journey. I think that was one of the most like pop culture, you know, ways like growing up that I saw about it other than hearing again about Elizabeth Taylor. But I thought that was a nice moment when they talked about like people convert a close to God. And then when she's talking about with her friends, it's a really funny moment. So what I enjoyed is they don't make these things taboo for her asking questions, being completely unaware and ignorant as to it. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's just she's asking questions and he's never judgmental or weird to her about that. And that's probably one of the parts of the show that I did enjoy the most, is that she's learning and she's asking questions, and that's okay. And then episode 5, can we talk about it?
Please. Okay. Oh, wait, before we do, can I just say one thing?
Yes, yes.
This is a podcaster working in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles, and you're telling me she doesn't know what Shabbat is? Absolutely unrealistic.
I mean, I believe it.
No.
I lived in LA. I do a podcast. I wasn't clear on it. That was the first time it's ever been explained to me.
You don't know what shalom means?
No, I knew what shalom. I, of course, knew what shalom. And like mitzvah and
she
whatever.
She doesn't know what a mitzvah is. She doesn't know shalom. She doesn't know mazel tov.
But do you know why I know these things? From watching Watch What Happens Live and hearing Andy talk about things. Like, where else would you hear about these things? Because, you know, you've had Jewish friends, but like, we don't talk about religious stuff.
You know what I think it is? It's because I live in New York. And honestly, if you live in New York City, you're a little bit Jewish. And so like it's like you get your bagel with your schmear. Like, it's just a part of people, you know.
No, and like that. I feel like that is widely known and understood. But no one has ever explained, like, when he shows up, episode 5. OK, first of all, let's talk about the time I got pissed. Episode 5, I got so mad.
You told me before watching that there was something that you were so mad about. And then when I started to watch a certain something happen, I was like, this is exactly when
yeah.
Baby B got it.
Because that's where I cut it off like a gangrene limb. That's where I cut bait, where I'm like, you have a great journey. I think we've learned from one another. I think this has been really healthy for both of us. And I wish you well.
Shalom does mean hello, goodbye, and peace.
Gwyneth Paltrow, I wish you well. And we're done. I was so mad when they went to that summer camp and he treated her like a side piece. And she missed a business thing to be there, a very important business thing to be there. And she's talking with the young girls and she realizes he's introducing her as his friend.
She's a Shoshana.
She was a Shoshana. And I got so mad. And then he goes into the little cabin and she put on this beautiful little outfit.
I own it in blue. Reformation.
It was amazing. Yeah. I mean, this whole show makes me want to shop also. And first of all, Favorite Daughter, which is the brand of clothing that the sisters who actually wrote the show make. I love that brand. Sponsor me! I have so many things from that, number one. And then so her style throughout the show is amazing. Impeccable. The belt, the jewelry, all of it. I won't get started. The necklaces, I'm already ordering stuff. But she's at the camp. She looks amazing. And she realizes she's not getting the level of like respect and acknowledgement. And then I like the moment with the lady rabbi that she meets, and they talk about like progress. The way that they talk about things I thought was really well done, but I was so angry at how he was almost ashamed of her or trying to hide her. And I was so glad that she left. She didn't even say bye. And that's why I came back. That's why I finished the episode. And then I will say I understood what they were doing, but I was also pissed off that he showed up at the work dinner.
I agree. 100%. I'm nodding. I'm nodding 100%. Yep.
You did what?
I didn't love that.
I did not love that. You could be waiting at her apartment afterwards. You do not need to come to the work meeting that is super high stakes. She's already probably in an emotional place. Waving her down at the workmate. That was the one part of the whole show where I was like, I don't like this. I know it ended well, but I didn't like that. That's my one beat.
I totally agree. Yeah. Although the sort of like at a high top restaurant style Shabbat was adorable.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the education of it. I was like, I never knew these things. But still,
I'm 100% here with you on that. I'm 100% here with you on that. Like there were some points where I was like, what the fuck is going on? But I also do want to say, as you mentioned, the Foster sisters. So it all ties back to Real Housewives because two of David Foster's daughters, Yolanda Hadid's ex.
Don't sing. I'm singing. Don't sing. Don't sing while David plays the piano.
They are not part of a Canadian opera. Do you remember when the trio of singers was there? Remember, and like somebody was singing along at one of his dinner parties on an old episode.
I probably blocked that out.
Okay, great. Good times. So So in addition to like being known for that and of this, you know, kind of like wild family experience, they do have a very famous podcast together. They have a very successful fashion line together. And Erin Foster, who created this show and was the showrunner season one, and thank God season two, L'Chaim, has been announced. She's going to stay on as EP, but she's no longer going to be showrunner. This is based on her experiences converting after meeting and falling in love with her Jewish boyfriend. He is not a rabbi, so obviously there are some significant creative liberties being taken. And also, she said his family was very supportive of her and her whole journey. But, you know, we got to make a show. We got to have some drama. But I think that that is, you know, obviously fantastic. And she talks about the fact that it was very important to her that the Adam Brody's character, his parents, the characters of his parents were based on Jewish immigrants, because the experience of being a Jewish immigrant is going to be different, for example, than my experience and what they were fleeing in the Soviet Union and how that informs the trauma that they had. And, you know, the framework of their family was really key. And so that was one of the decisions, I think, behind having, you know, Tova Feltsha, iconic Jewish and renowned theater actor, play
such a good actor. Yes. Yes. She's so good.
She's phenomenal.
The dinner scene.
It was brunch.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, because she brought that charcuterie. That was so funny.
That was so funny.
The way that she played that was great.
But then there are these moments where I'm like, she really is, you know, Kristen Bell's really being accepted. And then mom leans in and is like, you're never going to have him. He's never going to be yours.
I also wonder if that was almost like a challenge. Like she was laying down the gauntlet. Like, okay, are you in this? Or are you not in this? Like, you got to decide right now, because here's where the stakes are.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I did a little Google after watching. And one of the things that Erin Foster said in her interviews was like, she said, I don't even remember which piece this was that I read, but she was saying something along the lines of like, we at a time of incredibly heightened anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish violence, we need positive Jewish stories right now, which I really appreciate. But I read that, and I have to tell you, I just instinctively, you could say it even philosophically, thought to myself, we do need Jewish positive stories right now, positive Jewish stories right now. You have it in spades with Adam Brody, but is the story as positive about Jewish women?
Oh.
Like, is it as positive about Tova Feltsha? Is it as positive about Adam Brody's sister-in-law?
Oh.
Can you look at this series and say there are positive Jewish stories here that aren't just about the men? And I'm not saying it's like, I know. It really, honestly, I like literally wrote a note to myself because I just read that quote and I was like, there was just something in me where I was like, yeah, but there's a dot, dot, dot here, which we could get to. And I was charmed by the sister-in-law. I thought she was very funny.
Yeah. Even in her meanest moments, I'm like, I like this bitch.
100%. But the women are bitchy on.
Yeah. 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 But I feel like, okay, take the religion out of it. If you've
LOL.
No, I know. But just like, just women and men in general, the dynamics of
yeah.
Your brother-in-law, your son, is so close with someone and you're close with them too. And it all of a sudden they break up and he brings somebody new in. I feel like that energy would be the same no matter what, even if this was a show where there was no religion in it. And so I'm going to say to myself that, you know, season two, we'll see something different. And I will say, too, like, they come around in a really nice way. When they're drinking at the basketball game.
Yep.
Hilarious. I loved that.
What, the brunch where she's like, stay around forever because I finally look okay.
So they're funny. They're charming. Like, they care about their family. They're making efforts. They're doing what they can. Like, we see that, like, Sasha's wife, what's her name? The sister-in-law.
Mrs. Sasha. Esther.
Esther. Okay. We see that she's like, she's dealing with stuff. Like, she's got her own life going on. Her best friend. This woman was her best friend that was engaged to her brother. It was going to be like two besties marrying two brothers. That's a really strong dynamic to then break that. And she's got to figure out now how to be friendly with this new woman. And is she going to stick around, or is this a rebound thing? And like, what the hell's going on? So I will say, you know, I viewed it that way. I viewed it as like, wow, they're being probably nicer than most people would be, you know, even weeks later, whatever the time frame is supposed to be over these 10 episodes, especially the mom. She, and I know they had that moment or whatever, but still, like, she's got something on her now. But, you know, she could have been really awful, though. She could have been really terrible in a million ways that she wasn't. So I don't know, but that is an interesting observation. But I didn't see it that way, if that's helpful at all from an outsider's perspective.
I got it. I really did. I was like, beep, beep. But also, they did soften. When you ask me my favorite characters, like, honestly, you know, all of them are my favorite characters. Like, it's really hard, because even the sister, I was like, and obviously we love Justine Lupe, but like, she was really fucking funny. Although a part of me was like, are we getting into drama territory? Because if Timothy Simons fucks Justine Lupe, I'm going to be upset. Like,
I didn't think that was going to happen.
I didn't think so either. But there was a small part of me when she said I had a sex dream.
Oh, I know.
About the brother, where I got very nervous. And I was like, do not fuck the brother. We have enough we have to work on. Do not fuck
them. That would be too much.
I'm so glad they didn't. I'm glad that they're actually friends.
If anybody writing for the show is listening, don't do that.
Fuck the
brother.
Don't
do that.
Problem number one.
That will ruin the show.
Then it becomes you're nominated for a comedy, but everybody's crying.
Everyone's crying. And like, there's no way. There's no way they can be together and like have this be a normal thing now. Like, it's so bad. But no, but I like that they just have this like funny, witty relationship. And it's almost like brother and sister, because he doesn't really get that, you know, from like the dynamic he has with his wife. And that's also an ultimate question of like, can men and women be friends, and how does that work? And she is going to be part of the family, right? So that's going to be essentially like his sister-in-law, you know, in a weird way. So they're really just getting ahead of the curve of like, hey, we're all going to be having family dinners together. We're all going to be whatever. It's awesome that we can rag on each other, be cool together. And I get you, you get me. And we have to help these kids out, because there's going to be stuff that happens.
Absolutely. And I think they definitely softened up by the end. And also, there's going to be a season two, and there's going to be challenges, as we saw by the end of the finale episode.
God, I love that finale. I cried. It was great.
You know what it was?
You go first.
No, you go. Talk.
Okay, it was Jake Ryan. It was a Jake Ryan moment.
Yeah. 80s. Pretty in Pink?
No, but close. 16 Candles, when he's leaning against a car.
Same thing.
She goes, yeah. She thinks that they miss each other. She comes back from her sister's wedding. Her family's been drama and shit all day. And a car moves, and he's just fucking leaning against his car, waiting for her, all about her. That's what it was. He ran, as he should have, as he knew he should have. And he was waiting by her car. And I was like, okay. Loved it.
People of the world, let this be a moment for all of us. Do not, our standards sometimes, for whatever reason, are just on the ground.
They are.
Wait to be with the, choose the man, and it is a choice, which we will get to.
It is a choice.
Choose the man who runs to be with you.
Even when you say, don't follow me.
But like, no, respectfully, when not to listen to that, and respectfully. When to listen to a woman. But like,
not in a stalker way, in a nice way.
Not in a stalker way, not in a nice way.
That's right.
In a nice way. I really think that this is a little bit of a wake-up call, God forbid, for me, of like, you know, sometimes you meet someone and you're like, they're funny. We had a great long date, because they monologued for 6 hours and I was there and I had champs. So like, it is such a, if he wanted to, he would. If he wanted to, he would. That's my New Testament.
Facts.
That is my Talmud. You know what? Like, stand on the bima when you're swiping right. Actually, don't do that. But like, I really think this was a little bit of a wake up call for me, because I'm going to, you know what? You know, as we know, I have abdominal surgery next week. I'm going to be out of it for a minute. And AG's tippers, don't worry. I have EPs on the horizon for you. Mm-hmm. They're cooking right now, cooking with gas. Actually, while you're listening to this episode, I will be in recovery for said surgery. So pray for my tum. But the other part of it
absolutely
is, you know, I don't really know on the calendar when cuffing season begins, but I do think this is a reminder for me of like, you get what you accept. So yeah. If you are with someone who is not giving you what you deserve,
yes.
You're never going to get, you are going to say, you're saying to yourself, I deserve this much. Like
yeah.
Expect and demand more. You deserve more than what is unfortunately so often presented. And also if you're listening to this and you're on the flip side, it's like, be better. Like be better. Don't be so fucking lazy when it comes to dating and stuff.
Absolutely. And story time. I think it's also because I said, you know, one of my go-tos was just like cut bait. I'm just like, we're done. And I love that about the show because she's like, I love how you broke up with that one guy that time. What'd you do? She's like, I just stopped texting him. I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. That's the best way to do it. But there was a moment when I was first dating my husband, and he's one of the nicest people in the world. He's like my opposite. He's like, he's the golden retriever, I'm the black cat. It's a perfect dynamic. Okay. And so he was going to, we'd been dating for months and months. Like we were in the I love you phase. Like we're fully in this thing. Okay. And he's such a friendly person. Like he remembers everybody's birthday. He keeps in touch with people. He's my opposite. So he was going to go and have dinner with someone that he knew from who knows where. I was like, oh, that's so nice. Cause he was going to be, he had to go somewhere to another part of he had to go to a different state. And he was like, oh yeah, you know, this person said they were going to be there. I think we're going to grab dinner. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. How do you know this person? He's like, oh, you know, we dated forever ago. And so we're going to grab dinner. And I was like, that is so sweet. Listen, we've had such a good run. And I just want to say again, that I feel like we're better for having known each other. And
I have been changed for good.
Okay. And I will always cherish the time we've had. And I don't think I left anything at your apartment, but here's your shirt. And you guys have a great time. Okay. Wonderful. No hard feelings at all. I think that's a great thing, you know, but it's definitely not the behavior of somebody who's with the person that they really want to be with. And he was like, what? Like, he was so shocked by it. He was just like, okay, that's unacceptable. That's outside. Then I won't have dinner with this person. Like, it didn't even occur to me. I will not have dinner with this person. Like, that's done. You can watch me right now. Like, I'm texting her on my phone. I will not be able to make that dinner. You have a nice life. Like, goodbye. And I was like, okay, well, that's up to you. Because I want this to be your choice. Because I don't want to change who you are and who you want to be. I just know who I am and what my boundaries are. And I'm not going to be going to dinner with, like, an ex or anything. So, just FYI. So, anyway, that was just a moment early on. Because he's such a golden retriever that some of this stuff, like, didn't, you know, occur to him. He's totally different now. Like I have from the ground up, brick by brick, I have built something that is wonderful now. But in the beginning, it was a little bit like aloof on some stuff. And so I think it's also up to women to be like, hey, that's a deal breaker for me. And I'm going to tell you why. No hard feelings, but you know, your choice, left or right.
I also think it's so hard because so often we go from 0 to 100 of like, mm-hmm. this is a deal breaker, no more, to like, I will accept everything that is given to me because I'm grateful. And it's so hard to figure out like who deserves the second chance. Do I deserve to like give this person a second chance? What is that doing to me? Like, what mm-hmm. am I allowing myself versus sometimes the tension and complications of getting to know someone is understanding that you are not perfect, neither are they.
That's right. And you're going to mess up and they're going to mess up.
And sometimes you don't know whether or not they deserve a second chance until 6 months later. It can be hard. It can be complicated. Tell me.
My thing is like intention and malice. Those two things. Right? What was the intent and was it malicious? Like was there an intention to cause pain? Was there cruelty involved? If it's just something like dumb, then that's not a big deal. And I'm saying that like for myself when I was in the beginning phases and then also for like friends when they tell me stories and stuff. It's like if there's cruelty, malice, or malintent, then you're done. But if it's just like a typical guy not thinking stuff, then you can work with that.
So when did you know that he was the one?
Okay, so I knew when I was not feeling good, I was sick or something, and I was like, he would make me feel better. Like if he was here right now, he would like get me the food I needed and he would not be grossed out if I threw up and I'd be fine with him seeing me like looking like shit. That kind of thing where you feel like you would want them around in your lowest moments and they would make your life better. Because I think as women, we have a lot to offer and we sacrifice a lot in a relationship, especially if you're going to do marriage and children. And so if you're going to be with a man, he has to make your life 100 times better. His presence in your life has to improve it. It has to like move that stock up. So I get really upset when I see, you know, people sharing their lives on TikTok or something and their husband doesn't do anything. He doesn't contribute. It's like having another child. You know, what's the point of that? So
like when a man is saying, I have to babysit my kids, and it's like,
what the hell are we
talking
about?
You mean to be a parent to your children?
Yeah. Yeah, this, you're supposed to be half of a whole. You're supposed to be 50-50. It's supposed to be like you and me, we're in a partnership. We're in a foxhole. It's us against the world, back to back, guns out. So if it's not that, then what's the point?
And also sometimes it's 60-40 and sometimes it's...
That's right.
You know,
and that's the thing is they have to be the person that can pick you up when you're at your worst. They have to be the person that when you're having your lowest moment, you're like, I wish that person was around. I would feel better. They would know what, you know, to... how to help me, how to advise me, or if I was sick, they would help me feel better, whatever it is.
And the other part of the show that, you know, I got a little nervous for her, but I felt like I knew where we were sort of leading to, although I didn't know about the breakup, was her being like, yeah, I'm open to convert, and it being so quick. I just got nervous for her and I was like, okay, so this is gonna circle around, because not just about how serious it is to make the decision to convert, but about how easily she was making a decision to drastically change her life for him, which is not specific necessarily to the converting alone, but to the position she would be taking on as the rabbi's wife.
And that didn't really hit me until the last scene with the girlfriend.
Rebecca.
Yeah, because it's almost like the girlfriend had been like training for that, hoping for that, looking forward to that life. And I thought about, you know, people who are married to like a preacher or something, where it's like, you all are the ideal. You all are the model, the example. You all are like, you remember people's names and you welcome people. And it's almost like this is your community. You are a leader in this community. You're not just like, oh, nothing really matters and it's not a big deal. And I can, like, it's, you're taking on something. It's a responsibility. So that was big stakes. I think she realized it too in that moment. And I think that's why it ended the way it did.
I am not a member of Bachelor Nation, but sometimes I do have a passport to YouTube clip packages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have seen a clip of, I think it was the season with Pilot Pete, where he
I remember that season.
She had a double first name. I forget what it is. It's not Marianne, but it's something sort of similar to that.
Yeah.
And so it's the after the final rose ceremony.
Uh-huh.
His family hates the gal he chose. His mom is terrible and like has way extraordinarily
domineering. I remember the mom.
Way too much fucking control over Pilot Pete's life. And there is a moment where this woman, I mean, spoiler alert, they don't work out, but there's a moment where this lady who's now engaged to this man and like trying to figure out how to survive her possible future in-laws says essentially like, it's not just about him choosing me. He also has to be picked. Like, it's not just about whether or not this man is going to choose me. I have my own decision to make. And
that's
he should also,
right.
He should also deserve it. Like, it's,
yeah.
And the setup of The Bachelor is so fucked. I, as an outsider, and apologies, but like, it does often to me seem like the person who's the bachelor or bachelorette is in this insane power position where they're quite literally standing in front of people being like, you get to come on. You get, and I am,
yes.
I am the package. I am,
yes.
the prize. And what I really appreciated, as you mentioned, about the end of the first season, the end of that finale episode, is the realization that she has already chosen him, but he didn't have to put up with the work and sacrifice
That's
of
right.
choosing her.
That's right.
Which to me is additionally complicated, because now if people didn't like her before, they're really not going to like her now.
It's going to be fine.
I know. But like, hello, season two is like, we need to find a happy medium here. She shouldn't have to like end her you know, an identity to develop his, but also vice versa. If this is something he has wanted since he was a literal child at his bar mitzvah, like thinking that this is my future, you know, when the chief rabbi is like, who would have thought? And he's saying, I did. I thought this. Like, there is going to be some tension here because can they actually work out? The very first thing I thought when this series started is like, wouldn't it be great if this was an interfaith relationship? Like if she converts, we know IRL, the person who created the show, did convert for her husband. It would be great if she converted, but also can they figure out a way to make this work if she does not? Like that's what I really appreciated is her saying, I might do this, but I also might not. And like, can we live inside of that discomfort? Can we try to figure this out?
Yeah. No, I loved it. I thought it was great. And I agree. Like when you watch, because I used to watch Bachelor and Bachelorette pretty regularly. This was like pre-kids, you know what I mean? You come home from work and you just like watch these shows. I haven't watched it in forever, but I keep up tangentially. So that always bothered me a lot. Whether it is The Bachelor or Bachelorette, the way that they set it up makes it feel like this is the perfect person. You are lucky to be in this room. Everything they do is wonderful. And they put so much gamification and competition into it that what scares me about it is, and I think this is why most of the relationships don't work out, it becomes about winning rather than is this person right for me? And I think about that too when it comes to people on job interviews. Like you want to win the interview. And I always say to people who are going on interviews, you're really seeing, do they deserve you? Are they worthy of the majority of hours of your day and of your life? Because there are plenty of jobs, there are plenty of men, there are plenty of women. And so for anybody to put something like that on a pedestal that you don't really know just based on hype, I think is super toxic and you have to keep your wits about you. And the episodes of The Bachelor and Bachelorette that I like the most are the ones where that person themselves, whether it's the man or the woman, bachelor or bachelorette, and the people, the top two or three, especially, it's usually the one they have the most connection with. They have those conversations where that person is saying like, it comes down to, do you want me the same way? I need you to also say that I'm the thing that you think is worth all of this as well. And so those are the ones I think that have lasted. Those are some of the marriages that have actually done well is they have real conversations like that. It's not just this like hype and race towards the proposal.
It's a perfect show. Bachelor.
Not Bachelor, the show. Because I knew. I was a little concerned he wasn't going to chase her. And I thought maybe that's how it was going to end. But when he was by the car, I was like, hell yeah, women writers. I see what you've done here. And I love you. And I appreciate this because she was willing to like become something different for him, choose him above all else. And he had to make the same decision. He had to also choose her because at the end of the day, regardless of what titles they have and what they do with their life, like it is about two people deciding that I am going to build a life with you, whatever that looks like. So I loved it.
And also she's saying, you know, I and she's doing the I love you enough. I love you so much. I'll walk away. And then he's like, I love you so much. I'll walk away.
Yes, absolutely. It's like because that's what real love is, right? So people talk about love all the time. It's like, well, real love, too, is just saying, I want this person to be happy. I want them to be their best self. If this is the thing that they want more than anything else in the world, they should have it. And if I'm an impediment to that, then I step aside because that is what is most important to them. And maybe I'm not what they need. Well, that was great.
I really am going to think about Esther for the rest of the day. I just thought she was giving me like, ugh, I just loved it. I love
it. Who doesn't want to hang out with Esther?
Oh my God, she's so fucking cool, like genuinely. And she was so funny and so quick and so smart.
Yeah.
And I just, I really love the show. I thought, mm-hmm. you know, Mazel of the day, Aaron Foster, kudos to you. They did a great job. There was a moment because I was texting you bragging every time I beat you while you were like literally caring for your family. I was like, I'm on 7. I'm on 8. But there was a Vanderpump Rules.
Nod. Right. Right. She's like, no, this is our sports. And I always say Bravo is my sports. Like, I don't sports because Real Housewives is my sports. Like, I know those players. I know those MVPs. I'll wear that jersey and that's it. But yeah, that was great. That was a wonderful moment. But then they didn't actually like talk about it or watch it, but it was fine. We got what we needed.
Oh, no, that was plenty. Although yeah, I was thinking that there was going to be like a Jax line or something, but we might get
we don't need it. We don't need it.
We don't need it. We don't need it. It's not about us. It's not about us.
Yeah.
I really genuinely thought it was like a bright light kind of show. It was interesting. I absolutely, again, Jews are not a monolith. I've said that like 80 times. I totally understand criticism. And Lord knows people can have different takes.
I haven't seen any criticism of it. But again, like I've only seen like the people saying that it was so good and loving the moments and, you know, praising Adam Brody and da-da-da.
Yeah, there's been healthy criticism from some Jewish publications. And I completely understand it. And also I really thought it was the perfect show. Mm-hmm. And I really, as a Jewish person, was like, I love that even though there are moments of fun and everything else, that like being Jewish is not the punchline. Because that often happens. And you and I were talking before, because there was, I don't even remember the name of it, but there was something that's like been on Netflix recently that involved Jewish identity. And apologies, I really don't remember the name. And if someone told me the name, I wouldn't know if it was right. But like, I had heard rumblings that it like wasn't great. And it was focusing a lot on stereotypical Jewish jokes that like, to me, just it adds nothing and there was no depth. And this I really appreciated, because I was like, there is depth here. And also they're saying and doing things that are microaggressions against Jews, like the idea of like, what does a Jew look like? Like that, to me, I was like a little uncomfortable during that scene in the car after her voice note gets played, which was extraordinarily funny.
So
but
funny.
I also was like, the idea that people still think that, the idea that there is anti-Jewish violence every day against rising by the hour against people who present as Jewish, that like you cannot wear Jewish identifying clothing, jewelry, having a mezuzah outside your house because there is a heightened chance now that you might be attacked. Like, this is a very real, serious thing that is concerning and triggering to many Jews all over the world, including, unfortunately, in New York City, which is the second largest Jewish population in the world. And that is a real thing that exists. And so sometimes it can be difficult as a Jewish person watching content that includes Jewish characters, as much as I want to see that hashtag representation matters, because there are going to be these moments that are like reminiscent to me of people saying that to me about someone looking like a Jew. Or, you know, unfortunately, I've stumbled into things walking in New York City where I've heard people say stuff where I'm like, ooh, that is not great. And so there's something to be said for like having this show that like includes some of those moments and will inspire, I'm sure, a healthy debate from Jewish viewers watching, and one that I just personally genuinely couldn't more highly recommend, that I do think shows the Jewish experience in, even though it's a comedy with like LOL moments, I think that there was absolute realism here too. Maybe some of that I'm just drawing from my personal life, but I really liked it. I really liked it, and I thought that the respect that Erin Foster obviously has for her family and for her experience converting came through. It really did.
Yeah, you felt a lot of love there and a lot of just positivity, and I thought it was done really well. I mean, a lot of people online have made just loose correlations between Fleabag when she falls in love with a priest.
Oh, yeah, because he's called the hot rabbi at once.
Yeah, and I never watched all of Fleabag because I couldn't. It would be too emotionally damaging. Like, I have to pick and choose what I'm going to get my heart broken about, you know? And he was so fucking charming. Like, I've seen the clips where he's like,
oh, he is so hot. He is so... You're gonna.
No, like, I can't do it. No.
No, he's so hot.
Though. No, like, and I have like emotional, religious trauma from like going to Catholic school. So like, fuck it. I can't. I can't do it.
Don't do it.
But like, anyway, I've seen the good stuff. Trust me. All the good stuff has been cherry picked for me and presented to me. And so I feel like I've lived it without going on the journey. But so I thought that was just an interesting thing, too, that, you know, it goes from like this story where it's unrequited and so sad. And then this one is like, hey, there's a path forward here, which I thought was good.
And you absolutely should not watch it if you feel like, and certainly I can absolutely, as an outsider to that experience, understand triggers. And I do just want to whisper that if you haven't watched Fleabag, that was season 3, right? Or no, season 2. I think
I have no idea. Seasons. I have no idea.
I have seen it at least a dozen times.
Really? All of them? Oh, uh-huh. My God.
Oh, yeah. No, but that season in particular, Hot Preseason, is like literally I melted into the
now. I mean, so like, as somebody who went to Catholic school, like, I just get too pissed like about it. And
totally
I don't
understand. I totally understand that.
I won't get started. I won't start on this.
Don't do it. But also for any allies to the guinea pig community, guinea pigs feature heavily in Fleabag, and I appreciate that. And
oh, that's nice.
Fleabag on Amazon, and we love Phoebe Waller-Bridge because she is a fucking genius.
Yeah, and I really enjoy that those two are actually friends in real life. I think they were at a Taylor Swift concert, and they were like holding hands.
They've known each other forever.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that dynamic that they actually hang out in real life, IRL.
So I guess I just need to find an Adam Brody swipe right until someone with the hands before in the ice cream and the kit. That was like the hottest. You know what? I have to run to a doctor's appointment, but like I might just need to watch that moment one more time. I also am curious about what flavor of ice cream they were enjoying. Not the most important part of that moment.
I was
the
curious hottest, as well.
The hottest thing I've seen in a second.
I'll just send you. I'm going to download a TikTok video of just that kiss. That's what got me to watch a show. And I'll send it to you so you can just have that moment.
But does it include him putting the ice cream down? Because that's very important.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because when he was like, get ready, I was like, I literally was getting ready.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about when I say like consent is hot. I had this whole thing on my podcast about like, I think consent is very, very hot. So they knew it was coming and they were both like preparing for it. It wasn't just like a moment in a movie where somebody just grabs and kisses. That's not as hot as two people about to kiss and they both are eager for it. Like, that's just amazing.
No, consent is like
the hottest thing ever.
The hottest. I'm not fucking with you at all. It is so fucking hot.
Yeah, it's like you're going click, click, click on the roller coaster. Click, click, click. And you're like, oh, shit. It's great. It's great. Yeah. Like, the fall's coming.
So I guess the TLDR is like, maybe we kind of liked it or whatever.
I would say it's one of the best little like rom-com shows I've seen in a long time. And what I really get excited about, I'm not going to cry about it, but I'm just so excited that women are writing more shows, that they're, you know, well-received and they're popular. And I hope that things continue down, you know, that path in Hollywood where we let women tell stories because they're so much better at writing rom-coms. So.
And the showrunner for next season is changing. There are two showrunners from Girls. Jenny Connor, who, if you follow, I mean, that's one of those just things, little asterisk moments where I sometimes check in with Jenny Connor and Lena Dunham's estrangement to see if we'll ever actually find out what happened. But Jenny Connor is the co-showrunner. We're both smiling.
So it's not going to be the sister again? It's not going to be the Foster sister?
Erin Foster is going to stay on as EP, and I'm sure she'll still be in the writer's room, but she's not going to be show running. And she also was a showrunner while heavily pregnant while they were filming, if I'm remembering. She was a co-showrunner season one, and so now Jenny Connor's a co-showrunner season two with somebody else from Girls whose name I do not know. So I'm just hoping for the best.
I'm hoping for the best, too. Look, we'll always have season one if they mess it up, but I hope they don't mess it up. I really hope they don't. They should bring us on is what they should do because
they should. I mean, I have stories.
I've written a screenplay before, so I'm just saying, I'm good doing it.
I haven't, but I wrote an errand list for today and figured out how to do it. You can put the little dot in the circle thing when you're with a to-do list, and that was a big moment for me in my advancement through technology. So, yeah, they should call us. And also, Erin Foster, we see each other. You are so smart, so funny, followed on Instagram as well as your sister. I got the sisters confused. Need to start listening to their podcast immediately. And we stan and fully support the success of a Bravoholic.
Hell yeah.
Making her way through. Mazel of the day to Erin Foster, because she's been working on this for 5 years.
Wow.
And, you know, pictures of her during production, again, heavily pregnant. Just a fucking, just honestly, queen.
Yeah. I mean, I never worked harder than when I was pregnant while I was working, because I was like, this is my swan song. Like, I'm giving it all I got because I'm going to be, you know, elbow deep in baby town soon. So I'm sure she gave it everything she had.
I'm sure she did. And it's just incredibly impressive. And like, God only knows what she's seen. I mean, David Foster alone, that's got to be an interesting journey to have him.
They seem to have amazing senses of humor, which I feel like you would need.
Oh my God, totally. Yeah. That's the only way to make it through when your dad's marrying, you know, every Shabbat. There's like a new stepmom to introduce yourself to. You know, and Catherine McPhee, look at that. Nothing to add.
Nope.
So anyway, nobody, what's the name of it? I always forget. Nobody wants this.
Which I think is just so funny for the name of a show. Like, we're calling this show Nobody Wants This.
I know. That could have gone bad so quick. Did they ever think of that? That, like, if it's a flop, the title, the review title for, like,
I think that's probably why they called it that. Because they were like, whatever, we called it first.
Also, sidebar, the typography at the beginning of each episode. Loved it.
Me too.
70s energy.
So
sexy.
Good.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, so I love all the choices. We see each other. I see what they've done. I like every choice. Yes.
And again, if Adam Brody has a brother or an uncle or maybe a stepdad who didn't work out, like,
look, what I'm hoping, this is my fervent hope for all of my single gal friends that I know and those in the world that I don't know, mostly you, but everyone else. My hope is that the young men/men in their prime of right now are absorbing like a sponge the romanticy swagger, shows like this, the movies, the things that women are saying, we like this, that they are taking that and just rubbing it into their brains, into that gray matter, and they're learning like, hey, maybe the incel path isn't the way to go. Maybe instead of being angry and feeling like just for having a dick that someone should touch it, I should instead focus on like how to be awesome, how to understand women and how to see like what they want is pretty simple at the end of the day. Like just be a grown up, be a nice person. So that's my hope. My hope is that the men of right now are absorbing that and will learn from it.
And also women are also people.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's important.
That's, you know, it's a big learning lesson.
I don't want to go off on this, but I would say we're also the superior creatures. We're the givers of all life. We're majestic. We're beautiful. And so I feel like we should be revered. I'm just going to put that out there.
No, I think that's why, I mean, BCC, the patriarchy, I think that's why
absolutely.
We're constantly,
they're trying to hold us down because we're too powerful.
No, we are absolutely by far the better sex. Like, it's not even a question.
Once you learn that, it all makes sense.
We have so much more capacity for emotional intelligence, communicating.
What
many of us, not all, but like what many of us experience every month, like they wouldn't survive 2 seconds.
No.
Like of what I'm, what I'm going through fucking next week. I mean, my God.
No.
And then I'm just like going to continue on with my life. Like it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy town. Yeah. So, you know, hooray for us. And listen, BBDB, a pleasure, a thrill. I'm so glad that you really were the reason I started watching.
I wasn't going to let it go. I wasn't going to be annoying about it, but I was like little breadcrumbs every day. Like, hey, did you watch that show yet? It's so good. Okay. Just FYI, whenever you want a little boost, it's there for you.
You really were. And I'm so thankful. And I will watch it 10 more times because, you know, I'm a rewatcher.
I know
I
you are. I'm not. Well, I see it once. It's burned in. I'm good.
I need the first time is just the first of many. It's just the beginning. It's just I might watch it again today. I mean, who's to
do
say?
It?
Listen, BBDB, tell the AGs and the tippers where they can follow you on social. Some recent episodes of your incredible podcast, High and Low. You have so many deep dives that are up now.
Facts.
Mention it all.
Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo is my account on TikTok, Instagram. I have a YouTube where I swear I'm going to take my dives that are on podcast form and put them on YouTube and add visuals for you. I just did a two-part deep dive. My podcast is called High and Low because it's my mood, it's the world, it's whatever we're feeling. And I did two-part deep dive on Diddy. It's dark. It's disturbing. It's, I think, important for women to listen to. And so the one I did last night was part two, very difficult to do. And so now I'm going to have a silly day where I watch Orange County and recap that. So I do recap deep dives, do book reviews. I've been reading romantasy books lately. ACOTAR, where my ACOTAR peeps at. Holla. You need to start reading that, by the way.
Romantasy. I've never heard that before.
Oh, Sarah.
Romantic fantasy. Romantic.
Come on over. Come on over. Okay. This has been one of the highlights of my, and I've read a lot of books. I read very fast and I usually read like depressing, you know, nonfiction, like, did you know this? And gerrymandering. And I'm like, oh God. So this has been really a lovely respite. I have enjoyed it. I'm into it. And it's another one where it's like a lot of men, these are all written by women, really. So I'm having like love affairs with other women. It's great. And it's, they're writing these amazing, you know, men characters all about consent and swagger and wit. And it's, ooh, if you think you like the show you just watched, I got books for you. Okay. Anyway, so I recap that and we just talk about anything, current events and all kinds of fun things on the pod. So come on over. Water's great.
Oh my God. What a pitch. What a, what a summary. Speaking of fun things and water and whatnot, listen, join the Andy's Girls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Let me know your thoughts on Nobody Wants This on the social graphic for this episode when it comes out. And BBDB, a pleasure, a thrill. Thanks so much for coming on.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.